We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go. What is up, guys? Welcome to episode 274 of the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Andrew can't talk, so I am going to do the lead-in. The Yankees win the wild card. The Yankees win the wild card.
It's not Andrew, that I can't talk. It's just that up? You watched on TV, so you have a better idea of all of the ins and outs of the game.
Because that has anything to do with the opening of the show.
I just, was there enjoying myself.
Right. Yes. Look, everything went exactly to plan, did it not? I think this whole game went exactly the way that we drew it up. Minus Betances going two innings and coming in with runners on base.
Right. That's the thing that was the obvious second guess when Boone pulled that out of his ass. And Boone brings in Betances with runners on base. That's the first strike against him. And then he leaves him in for a second inning. That's the second strike against him. And they both worked. So
they both worked.
I guess Boone's.
There's no binder. The binder. This is the deal with all of us now. We're so used to the binder that we already have it in our mind that this isn't gonna, that he's not gonna do something, because Girardi stuck to a plan the entire time. Girardi didn't deviate from a plan very often.
What was the plan last wild card game? 2017 wild card game. Severino can't get out of the first inning. Where's that plan? That's not even in the binder. We're talking about like Appendix Z at that point.
That has nothing to do with the binder. You're missing the point. The binder has to do with certain scenarios that you do and don't do.
Right.
Betances, two innings, you don't do. Betances, runner on base, you don't do.
Mm-hmm.
You're missing the point of the binder here. The binder had very strict guidelines in certain scenarios. And if it didn't have a scenario in the binder, then who the hell knows? There's always new chapters written to the binder. Boone does not go by this.
He's digital. He's on an iPad.
Before we get into the entire breakdown of this thing, I want you to tell me. I know you and Frank Marco, who is another writer on Bronx Pinstripes, who focuses on the analytics, a lot of the stats, the things that makes my head go spinning. Tell me about the atmosphere today, because you guys were in the stadium.
Yeah, well, first of all, this was Frank's first playoff game. Frank, what did you think of Yankee Stadium wildcard game?
Man, it was amazing. Flew up here 1,000 miles and. It was worth it. I mean, what else can you say? It was an incredible atmosphere. Probably the best game I've ever been to. Yeah, definitely the best game I've ever been to. Yeah.
He flew up from Nashville this morning. So I get a text message, when was it, like last Friday, just saying, hey, I bought a plane ticket up, so I'll be there. I was like, all right, I guess we're buying tickets then. And we were in the left field, right basically where Stanton hit his home run, maybe a section over and a few rows up. It was electric. The pregame was fun. There was a pair of A's fans that walked into the dugout and just got booed to smithereens. I don't even think people let them get a beer at the bar. That's how much they were getting booed. A ton of fun. It was everything that I remembered about last October and the energy that the fans brought to the Bronx. It was there again tonight.
That's huge. I think because when you're talking about the beginning of the game, I mean, a lot of the narrative walking into this game was, how is the stadium going to react? Everybody wanted the stadium to be like it was last year, because last year was kind of an opening of the eyes and how this new stadium can be. So the fact that they came back and you know, I'm watching on TV, I'm watching at home, it sounded like it was loud. It sounded like it was loud from the very beginning, from when Severino came and took the ball and struck out a couple guys in the first inning. It sounded loud.
As soon as
those strikeouts came, boom, the crowd was in it. They're like, oh, Severino's here? We're here.
Exactly. So you know what was, I thought, well, because last, everyone remembers what happened last wildcard game.
Right.
Severino couldn't get out of the first inning. And he had a very, very quick first inning. And I think just from there, everyone was like, okay, let's go. So it was loud. We didn't sit down until, what, the third inning? And when Judge hits that home run in the bottom of the first inning, it's 2-0 before you can blink an eye. Nobody's out, and it's 2-0. That was one of the loudest I've ever heard the stadium. I was on Instagram stories. I posted right after Judge hit that home run. could not feel my ears. They were vibrating. I was screaming at the top of my lungs. And from where we were sitting in left field, because he hit the ball a little bit to the left of us, to left center field. He hits the ball, and you're like, okay, that's hit well, but how well is it hit? Then I saw the replay. That thing went over into the bleachers. That was a freaking bomb.
116 miles an hour off the bat. The only person that could one-up him was Stanton later in the game,
yeah,
who hits it to left field 117 miles per hour off the bat. So back, those two guys hitting ridiculous moonshots. And yeah, it set the tone. I mean, like, I feel like that was, you get the lead early, and that's, I was talking about this in the post-game video. I don't know how else to say it, is that it felt like the game, it didn't feel like the game was ever out of hand.
Well,
like there were moments I feel like there were tension.
Yes.
When it was started, it felt like it might have started to turn because it was almost like it stabilized, and I didn't like that. And, you know, at that point, I feel like when something stabilizes and the crowd maybe is not as into it, that's when Oakland can strike, but they didn't.
I agree with you. Judge hits that home run, and Frank, like, we were feeling confident in the stands. But the second inning, right? And the Yankees had the first and second, nobody out, and Gary Sanchez grounds into that double play. And I feel like that gave a little bit of life back to the A's. And
Because for the next three innings, it was you know, stagnation. It was
right.
It was there was a lot of zeros being thrown out there.
The bullpenning was working.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, the Trevino kid from Oakland was dominating. I mean, he was doing what, you know, what they probably wanted their opener to do, starter. I'm not going to lie. I cannot stand calling it an opener. I really, every time I say it, I want to say, fuck you, opener. I want to call it a starter because that's what it is. Did it's still a starting pitcher.
Brian Kenny's playbook went up in flames today.
Did you see Brian Kenny just gloating? When he saw that the A's were going with Hendricks today, he was just gloating all over Twitter today. But what I want to talk about is, so like you said, so there was a little bit of life given back to the A's. And then it was the third and fourth inning. Frank and I were talking. Severino could not locate his fastball. And from the stands where we were sitting, we just thought, okay, Severino can't find the plate with his fastball. He was throwing all sliders, all changeups. That was the only thing that was working. And he hadn't given up a hit. But you're saying, Scott, that the umpire was actually squeezing him.
Yeah, I'm going back to the Twitter feed now to remember exactly what happened specifically in those. Eckersley and Darling made everybody aware multiple times, as many times as they possibly could, that there was a no hitter happening. Just
jinxing the hell out of
talking about up. Talk about a great booth. You got Ron Darling of the Mets and Dennis Eckersley of the Red Sox in the booth for the Yankees.
Ex Oakland A.
Yeah, and Oakland, right, exactly. But he's currently with the Red Sox. And then Brian Anderson, who I could recognize his voice, but when I saw his face, I'm like, I don't know who you are.
Who is Brian Anderson?
Don't know who you are.
Is he the TBS play-by-play guy?
Yeah, yeah. I thought he was somebody that I knew, but I did. When I saw his face, I was like, I really have no idea who you are.
Better or worse than A-Rod's broadcast last night?
I don't think there could be anybody worse. You know, A-Rod's broadcast was the worst thing I've ever heard.
Historically bad.
Historically awful. And did you hear also that he signed already for next year? And the only person in the booth that they're potentially not bringing back is
Mendoza? Jessica?
Jessica Mendoza, thank you. Yeah. Vesgersian and A-Rod both have contracts.
People also hate Jessica Mendoza on Twitter. She's like an easy target on Twitter.
But she has to deal with A-Rod. I don't know how you deal with that. He's got canned one-liners ready to get. Now you're getting me on a tangent.
We're getting really off tangent. Like, we could shit on A-Rod all we want in the offseason. Let's try and refocus.
I really want to shit on A-Rod right now because it was so bad last night. But so you're working through that when Severino was being was didn't have the command with the fastball. And yes, there were definitely at bats where that ball was on the black. I mean, Sanchez was not framing the ball. He was barely bringing it back. It was not a frame job.
You
the ball was
Gary
there.
Sanchez?
No, I'm saying it wasn't him. What I'm saying is the pitch should have been called a strike.
Oh, I gotcha.
Anyway, either way, he was getting squeezed. There's no doubt about it. And I think that's from where you guys were sitting, it probably, you know, looked different.
It was impossible to tell from where we were sitting.
It felt like he was missing with his fastball, but he was on. He felt like I felt like his command was exactly where he wanted it to be, and it just wasn't getting called in certain circumstances.
Okay, yeah,
and I think that's very different than being off.
Right. Well, I thought he was off with his fastball, and from where we were sitting, all we saw was the only strikes that were happening were either foul balls on the fastball or swinging strikes with the changeup and the slider. And it was working for him. He got through four innings. He didn't give up a hit. A couple base runners, and he was having some deep counts, but I guess the umpire squeezing him really, really drove his pitch count up. It probably forced him to be out of that game sooner than he should have.
Well, I think we saw it. I definitely think we saw it in that inning particularly, with a few at-bats with Severino. But the one thing I thought was very noticeable was he was throwing the slider. It was moving well. But they were talking to Boone in between innings at one point. And, you know, there was conversations that were had after the first inning where Severino was going well. And he comes in the dugout, and Boone was pretty candid about this conversation. You know, talking like, hey, Sevy, we know you're going well right now, but don't forget to mix in your pitches, because you can get overly confident with the fastball and then all of a sudden things change. You still got to work in those pitches. And I think that was a big deal, because he started throwing more sliders. That changeup and the slider were both high 80s, which to me is extremely effective. When you're able to change the speed on that fastball, and you're able to get back to the slider and the changeup back in the high 80s, that's a huge deal. And that's something I feel like Severino, when he was struggling, was not able to do. He wasn't able to change the speeds as much. He wasn't able to distinguish from fastball, slider, and then, you know, mix in that changeup every once in a while just to show it.
So if this is not essentially a game seven, I mean, this is a one game wild card, do or die, loser goes home. Does Severino stay out there longer if this is just game two of a playoff series?
It's probably a little bit longer. There may have been a slightly longer leash.
Because I thought in the fourth inning, when he was struggling to find the plate and nobody was warming up in the bullpen, I questioned.
Yeah, which was surprising to me.
I questioned that, because you have a 2-0 lead. The offense hasn't done anything since the first inning, and you're gonna just let him put runners on base, even if he's getting squeezed. Like, you got to do something, and he didn't warm up anybody. And then in the fifth inning, two runners get on, and he warms up Dylan Betances. Or was it the fourth inning or the fifth inning? I don't even remember what inning it was.
No, he was warming up in the fourth too.
Warming up in the fourth.
They cut to Boone a couple times when it looked like Severino was missing a bit, and he was chilling. he was on the step.
Boone was chilling.
Blowing
bubbles. I saw him blow one bubble. Now, they showed it on the TV monitor.
He was not blowing bubbles at this particular time when I was looking at him, but he wasn't talking to anybody. There was no conference. There was nothing happening.
Where was Larry? Was Larry taking a dump?
I don't know what they obviously had a game plan, but you know. It's impossible. I don't care who you are. You cannot say anything negative about what Aaron Boone did today, because he obviously had the pulse of this team. He was out there. He let Severino get through his mix. I thought for sure somebody should be warming up, at least as a precaution. Let's have them warm up. I thought in the fifth inning, when Betances did come in and there were runners on base and he was still the only guy and just sitting there talking to the bullpen coach, I'm like, are we not going to have a second guy warming up at this point? Like, why not have another guy warm up in case there's more people on base and Betances becomes a lesser of an option? No. Boone had that in his game plan the entire time. Men on base, I don't give a rat's ass. Betances is coming in. And it paid off.
So what's the one thing we've said a million times this year? That you don't bring Betances in with runners on base, right? And what's the other thing?
This is not just this year. It goes back to last year, too.
And what's the second thing we say? Don't let Betances go into a second inning. And he did both of them. He did both of those things.
And it worked
beautifully. Is that Boone getting lucky? Or is that Boone managing on another level?
It's not another level. this is why he was brought in. Everybody thinks he was brought in because of the analytics and that he just does what Cashman says. No. He was brought in because he has the pulse of the goddamn team.
So he's the Betances whisperer? Like, what are you saying?
He is the player whisperer. He knows how they feel. He can see what they look like. You have no idea how big my mouth is getting when I'm saying this. He is emphatically looking at these people and saying, I know how you're going to act. I see you as a baseball player because I was a baseball player recently, and I can tell how you're going to do this next inning, and it's working.
So intuitively, it makes sense, right? Betances has strikeout stuff, so you want to bring him in when there's runners on base so you can get strikeouts. But we know that Betances struggles in those situations. But Frank actually showed me a stat during the game, and he also didn't believe it. He was like, look, Betances' numbers are actually better with runners on base than they are with the bases empty.
Frank, stop it. You're ruining our narratives and how we think of things. I don't like that.
It's not a narrative,
These goddamn advanced metrics are ruining my life.
It's not even advanced metrics, though, but like there is enough proof where, and maybe it was from mostly last year or mostly early in the season. I know there was a couple scenarios where Betances got in trouble. I remember that. You remember that game in Toronto where he gave up like four stolen bases in one inning?
That's the thing. He can't hold people on. So that was one of the – someone on Twitter, I forget who it was. If you listen to the show, shoot us another tweet because it was a very good point. Jonathan Lucroy was the lead runner in that inning. He was the guy that was you know, the potential problem for Betances when you're coming in the inning. That might change the game. When you have a guy who's the catcher, who's one of two catchers that's on the roster, that's Jonathan Lucroy, who does not run well, that might change the game. That they may be a difference maker on who you bring in. If you have somebody with any ability whatsoever on the base path, you know, maybe that changes things.
Yeah,
I don't know. But the way that Boone was handling that inning, the way that Boone had Betances only warming up, that was his guy. He was going with Betances, and that was very clear.
Betances was the star of the game.
Shocked that Chad Green was not the first one out of the bullpen.
I agree with you.
I think everyone thought that Chad Green was going to be the first one, whether that was a fireman situation or whether it was a clean inning.
Chad Green didn't even get warming up in the bullpen.
No, he did warm up. He warmed up.
Apparently.
He did warm up.
Well, he had a fresh,
he had a fresh haircut, too.
Dry
humps in the bullpen. Definitely a fresh fade on the head.
So one thing we talked about on our preview episode was, at what point do you take Andujar out of the game? And yes. I said seventh inning, and
God damn, you were wrong.
You mocked
you horribly
me.
Wrong.
You yeah, mocked me saying you cannot take him out that early.
All the way in the first inning.
Exactly.
First inning, Luke Voit had to bail him out.
Luke Voit bailed out Andujar in the first inning on a bad throw, and then there was another play where he made a diving stop. And
yep.
then,
good stop. It was
good
a good
stop.
Good instinctual stop.
Yeah, instinctual stop. And then he short hopped the throw, and it was Voit couldn't pick it. But Boone pulls him in the sixth inning with a two-run lead.
So we had this discussion beforehand. You said seventh inning. I said it would be very tough for me to pull that bat in the sixth inning. I said maybe eighth, ninth would be, you know, ninth for sure. Eighth, I could see it. But when you have – it was a two-run lead at that point.
Two-run lead in the sixth.
That's a lot to take out that bat. But here's the difference. He had already made two throwing mistakes. Two throwing errors had already happened in the game. That changes what you do. If you ask me that question when I already know he had two
it
throwing errors –
It shouldn't change what you do, though, because you know
– It absolutely changes what you do.
He's been doing it all year.
Yes, that's fine. But people make errors during the year. People strike out during the year. People have bad outings during the year. But when you see it in the game, just like we talked about, you can't go batter to batter. You have to look at how that guy is having an at-bat in a particular game and how he's squaring that guy up on a particular day. I need to see how friggin' Andujar is fielding the ball and throwing the ball on that given day. And when I've already seen two, I'm not playing with fire at that point. I totally get it. I understand it. And he made the instinctual throw. This is the thing. Andujar has made those plays. I'm sorry, the instinctual play, the glove play. It's like freaking Chase Headley did the same damn thing. He would make the glove play and then error mail it. And Andujar's the exact opposite. He short arms it. He throws it from his hip, and the ball loops over and barely gets to first base.
It takes forever to get rid of the ball. And then,
it wasn't so much that it was so much that it was the throw.
Yeah, but
the
he throw also was double clutched. Terrible. Once he made the diving stop, he stood up and double clutched and then short hopped him.
The problem, whatever. He had the time. He had the time.
Killing at Duhar, we probably shouldn't. He did not have a good game. Gleyber Torres did not have a good game at the plate either. So the two rookies, I guess, did, you know, first playoff action did not look good.
I mean, Andujar had he worked a walk and then got a base hit. When you, that's where his strengths are. His strengths are at the plate. So the fact that he came in or that he left in, you know, as early as he did for Hechavarria, I think is a telling sign. And Hechavarria made it again.
Unbelievable
made Boone
catch.
Look made Boone look amazing because hot shot left to third base. Hechavarria makes the play.
Maybe the
at this point everything's working out for Boone.
Yeah, maybe that the Hechavarria catch was maybe the third loudest play of the night.
Really?
Yeah. It yes. I don't know why the Judge home run was the loudest. Maybe the second loudest was the Luke Voit triple, and then yeah. I think the Hechavarria catch was the third loudest.
Well, that's I think that's surprising as watching it from TV because it happened so fast. It's almost like it doesn't click as in a live atmosphere. But I think the fact that play was snagged because the ball was a rocket. It was a rocket over yeah. his head, and he made a great play to lock that down. So let's talk about Luke Voit. Luke Voit comes in, picks a play, saves Andujar's ass in the first inning. Right, looks like a hero so far. Immediately, you see this guy picking balls. You're loving it. Then he couldn't cleanly grab the second Andujar. Short hop, which he probably should have gotten, but whatever.
Could have gotten.
Either way, both of them would have and could have. But you know what he did do? He hit a ball off the right field wall that was literally 3 centimeters from being a home run.
Yeah.
He thought it was a home run.
He thought it was a home run.
Hand was up.
Sammy hopped.
Finger was up.
Put his arm up.
Oh, he was going. It was a home run. He admitted it in the post-game interview. He said he got a bunch of shit for it in the dugout. He thought it was a home run. Ended up on third base, so no harm, no foul. Maybe he would have scored. I don't know. But
no, probably
Luke,
not.
Luke Voit coming in a big, big freaking opportunity and a big play. Greg Bird who?
The legend continues. And did you? Yes. So Frank and I were just watching his interview from the clubhouse when they were just popping champagne. Meredith was interviewing him. I think not only is Luke Voit sliding in on Greg Bird's first base job, he's sliding in on Greg Bird's lady.
Do you know how much? Do you know? See, I haven't even told you this. How much shit I've already gotten through Twitter DMs about this,
about from, the Greg from, Bird Meredith thing?
Yes, from Why? From because I think there are some people that think that we're disrespecting Meredith as a broadcaster, and that is not the case. I want to make that very clear. I think Meredith Marakovich is a phenomenal broadcaster. I think she had one of the best Derek Jeter interviews I've ever seen. But Greg Bird had eyes for her, and that's what we're talking about. And Luke Voit is coming in and stealing that lady.
Yeah, okay, yeah, we're not disrespecting Meredith. We love Meredith here at Bronx.
We do love Meredith. She's phenomenal. Luke Voit is the first baseman of the New York Yankees. There is no doubt about this.
For
the guy
at
is,
least the month of October.
Yes. There were, what was it, a New York Times article comparing him to Jim Leyritz. You know, with big home runs, hopefully this guy can hit some big home runs in the postseason. Luke Voit has taken it by storm. One concern I think by this game, if we're going to talk about any of these concerns, because it did feel like the Yankees had this game from the first inning, in my opinion, Zach Britton was walking guys again. Mm-hmm. You know that's the bad Zach Britton that we've seen. We've seen him much better over the last, you know, 3 to 4 weeks of the season, but when he first came over. And, you know, leading up to that good stretch, he was the big problem that we saw from him that really was not on the Zach Britton radar was walks. And dude walking guys again and then a big home run. He wasn't good tonight.
Right. And it's like, well, on the one hand, he had a 6-run lead at the time. So he's pitching to Chris Davis. I understand that you have a 6-run lead. You don't want to walk 2 guys and put 2 guys on base. But that's the one guy in that lineup you can't let beat you, and he let him beat him. I guess it's because he didn't have any prior postseason experience.
Yeah, that must have been it.
The reason.
I think that he couldn't find the strike zone, and was put in, was trying to find the strike zone as much as possible against the wrong guy. Like that guy obviously takes advantage of bad pitches.
Yeah, he's
the home run king of the American League. He's the Chris Carter of the American League.
He's the most consistent 247 hitter in baseball.
Unbelievable.
You see that he hit 247? No, four seasons in a row.
Oh, was it four? Jesus. Yeah. That's just stupid. How does that even happen?
I don't know.
All right, so give me some final thoughts on the atmosphere. I want to know more about this atmosphere.
Yeah, so couple takeaways. Like I already mentioned, the pregame bar, that was a ton of fun. The Judge home run was absolutely the loudest point of the night. I don't understand why Yankees concession workers have to move at a DMV pace, but it's infuriating. Luckily, I missed an entire Yankees at-bat inning, and it was the inning they went 1-2-3, so that was nice. But
you obviously were not sitting in Cousin Brewski's section.
No. I'm talking about like the vendors up like at the concessions where you get like you can get a hot dog, you can get a pretzel, the "We Want Boston" chant started as soon as Luke Voit hit that triple. The "We Want Boston" chant started. And that is when everyone started to get super rowdy. We were in the bleachers. We were in the right field bleachers for Stanton's home run, and people just tossing beers in the air. It was, like I said to start the show, it was everything that we loved about the October run last year was back in the Bronx tonight.
See, I think that's huge. I think the fact that the fans showed up is enormous. This team, you know, has been talking this up the entire time. We need the fans. We need to make sure that this place is as loud as possibly can. And I know all of Yankees Twitter was all over the same thing. Bring it to the stadium. Bring the noise. Our boy Joe's McFly was in there loud as hell. Bring the noise, and it sounds like the stadium did not disappoint once again. So hats off to every Yankees fan in that building. I love to see that. And when they do come back with the Boston series, I will 100% be there.
That I want to talk. So we may do. I don't know if we've committed to it yet. ALDS Boston preview, but I want to just talk about that for a second.
No, we're gonna do. We're gonna do it. Obviously, we do stupid things in the.
We're gonna do a more in depth.
Legitimately have no lives when the playoffs start.
Analysis like we did for this wild card game, but let's just talk about high level.
My kid might not eat.
Well, you're putting bread on the table with this podcast.
No. Legitimately, the bread might not be put on the table.
Oh, you're just gonna leave it on the counter for him. First time the Yankees and Red Sox are playing in the playoffs since 2004. We remember what happened in 2004. That's 14 years ago.
I don't remember what happened. I was drunk.
But this is exact. So I remember the night that Tyler Austin charged Joe Kelly. We got on here. That was a Wednesday night. We got on here immediately after that and recorded a podcast, and we said it seems like the rivalry is back, but the one thing missing is that these two teams need to meet in the playoffs.
Yeah,
and now they're meeting in the playoffs. So I understand the Red Sox are favored. They're the home team. They won 108 ball games, whatever the hell it is. I am so amped up for this series, though. This is the best part of baseball, is Yankees Red Sox in the playoffs.
So I don't know how much this goes to like the pulse of the Red Sox fan base, but my buddy who I went to college with, who lives in New Hampshire, and is a ridiculous Red Sox fan. People would legitimately tell us we had to leave the room in certain because we would be arguing for hours about Yankees Red Sox when we were in college, and. He called me today, of course, at the very first pitch. I'm like, you mother.
What an asshole.
Why are you calling me? Yeah. Why are you calling me?
Bad friend.
Now I know why you're calling me. No, he's a freaking Red Sox fan. Of course he's going to call me. He called me the first pitch. And so we were talking for a little bit. I called him back because I couldn't handle that. And I said, you know, what do you want? You know you want the Yankees to be there. You know you want Yankees Red Sox. And he's like, you're right. I do. As much as I don't want to play the Yankees, I want the Yankees Red Sox.
Yes.
And I love that. I love that both fan bases want this. I feel like both fan bases need this. We need this. We need this, this hatred to get back up, because that's when baseball is the most fun. When you have an arch rival, when you have someone you hate, the emotions are at their peak, and everything gets better. So yeah. So I'm going to take that as the entire Red Sox nation or the Red Sox fan base wants the Yankees to be there, because that's the team they want to beat. But guess what? This team's coming in freaking hot.
Right. Well, hot. That's the thing. It makes the victory will be that much sweeter, but the loss will be that much harder. So
for both teams.
But that,
more for them, but yes, for both, but more for them, for sure.
Okay, fine. But that's why the playoff series, that's why meeting in the playoffs is extra special, is because it sucks that much more to lose and it's that much sweeter to win. And
I agree.
You know,
with
the
you.
Last time that Aaron Boone faced the Red Sox in the playoffs, remember
what year
happened?
Was that? What year was that?
That was 2003.
Oh yeah, okay. And what happened the year after that?
No, but I'm talking about the last time Aaron Boone was a New York Yankee and faced the Red Sox in the playoffs. Good things happened.
Good things did happen.
So maybe they'll happen again.
Look, we've already had one redemption song. We need a second redemption song.
Sevy was redeemed tonight. I think he can take positives from this start. And it wasn't a fantastic start, but it was. You can take positives.
You see him in the press conference after the game, shit-eating grin all over his face.
He was a shitting grin last year, too.
No, it wasn't. It was definitely subdued. Today is a different Sevy. Sevy, he realized he gave up zero runs.
But one hit? Yeah. He did what they asked him to do.
I think it might have been two hits.
He got into the fifth inning. He got into the fifth inning with no runs. That's all they wanted him to do. So
right.
It
worked out well.
Before we wrap this up, I wanna just can we briefly mention my live TV appearance this morning?
Oh yeah, let's do that. Go ahead.
It's been a long day for me. I was up at 6:15 in the morning, so I could get to Yankee Stadium by 7:15 in the morning. New York won the TV channel.
NY won, right?
NY won, the TV channel that everyone watches for 35 seconds before they change the channel because Spectrum defaults to
Spectrum viewers.
But no, I really appreciate them having me on. It was a lot of fun. We were out in front of the stadium. It was a live TV spot, so that kind of hit me. As I was standing there ready to go on camera, I was like, oh wait, this is live. So I guess I can't say fuck and shit.
No, I don't think that would work as well, but they would have figured out a way to edit that out somehow.
but go check out the clip if you can. I posted it on the Facebook channel as well as Twitter and stuff like that. So it was a lot of fun.
All right. So now we have the Red Sox series coming up. It's Yankees Red Sox. This is what we've all been wanting for. This is exactly what we've been pining for as Yankees fans. Starting on today is Wednesday. Starts on Friday. Yeah, game one Friday.
Friday night.
Friday night at Fenway Park. 7:30.
They already announced the start.
So you guys are probably listening to this on Thursday. You're definitely listening to this on Thursday because it's currently Thursday. It's 1:15 in the morning. I'm gonna edit this, put it up. And Andrew and I will probably later tonight, I say probably, we will, we'll record a preview for the Red Sox series and get that out. And that's when you'll hear from us next. Until then, we will be talking on social media and all of these things. We will celebrate this win, but there is work to be done. Andrew, Frank, I'm glad you guys had a great time at the stadium. I'm not happy that I wasn't there, but I'm glad you had a good time. What are your last thoughts before we get out of here?
My last thoughts are, we want Boston.
That's right.
Let's go.
We want Boston. Frank in the background.
I think we have eight wins in a row, our last home playoff games.
That better be right. I swear to God, that better be right, Frank.
Pretty sure that's right.
It's well, they were 6-0 last year in the playoffs. So
they won their last eight home playoff games.
No, that's false. It's 7-0. If they won 6 last year, then it's 7 because they lost 2015 wildcard game.
So they're going for their eighth straight.
Whatever. This team is very tough to beat in the Bronx.
Let's go. The Red Sox starters have not won a start.
They haven't won shit.
As Boston Red Sox in the playoffs. Let's keep it that way. Let's go, Yankees. Talk to you guys soon.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
I must be out or I pick up the phone.
Where could I be? Believe it or not, I'm not home.
10 pitches, Sebby, let's go! Right now, Yankees on the board! Do this!
Aaron here from Louisville, Kentucky, and that two-run bomb from Judge had me fucking screaming in my dorm hall during quiet hours. Let's go, Yanks. One inning at a time.
Hey, my name is Claudio. This is my first time calling the hotline. Been listening to you guys for a long time. You guys do a great job. I was one of Girardi's biggest supporters for the last 10 years, defended him every single day against all the naysayers. Boone has literally been one of the worst in-game managers I've ever seen. I cannot fucking believe that you bring in Severino after he fucking exerted every ounce of energy he had getting out of that bases loaded jam. He had absolutely nothing left. Immediately, this guy gives up a hit, gives up another hit. Who the fuck does he bring in? The one person in our bullpen who cannot pitch some inherited runners! What the fuck is he thinking? Oh my god, he lost him! Spoon is nerd. Fuck, I'm gonna fucking have a heart attack. I am so confident in this fucking team. The only thing that worries me is this piece of shit in-game manager, Aaron Boone. Holy fucking shit. Holy shit, I'm calling back. What the fuck is Nelson attempt to do a hand for a second fucking inning of work? And why in the fucking world is Miguel Andujar out of the game in the sixth fucking inning? Holy shit! There's no way Brian Cashman is making these calls from front office. This is 100% Boone's idiotic fucking moves. Holy fucking shit. Sorry. Woo!
Fuck yeah, baby. Strong first name by Severino. That's how we start off a wild card game.
Aaron fucking Judge! My dogs are going crazy. The stadium's going crazy. Wild card, baby. Here we go. Let's go get the ball.
I was not sure about bringing Dell in. People on, nobody out. But it turned out to be the right decision. Going into the bottom of the sixth. Put up a couple more runs. Win this shit.
Bottom six had to call in. How much do you guys need per GoFundMe to live broadcast the game? Because I cannot handle Eckersley any longer. Please and thank you. Go Yanks.
This is a cardinal sin, putting Betances in with runners on. I don't know why Britton wasn't up. He would be perfect in this situation.
What's up, guys? This is Conrad, one of the Reds at Boston Giants. I was sitting in class watching the game with Judge Zinn hit that monumental home run. I fucking almost got out of my seat during class. All I can say is I just watched Luke Boyd just hit that fucking triple and then slide home. Just inject that man into my fucking vein. We're going all the way. I'll be at the game in New York against Boston on Monday night. Let's talk to the Yankees.
Hey boys, Dave from Philly. Last time I called was last year during the ALDS when Dellin Betances couldn't throw a strike. And I would like to formally apologize for every awful thing I ever said about Dellin Betances. Let's go Yanks and let's get Luke Boyd his Monument Park plane.
I would personally like to thank Brian Cashman and Chasen Shreve for bringing us Luke the motherfucking legend Voight to New York. If this man was pulled out of nowhere, Brian Cashman deserves to go to the Hall of Fame. Go fucking Yanks!
Let's go Yankees! I'm about 12 years in. Fucking boy, baby, you fucking animal, baby.
Woo! Yeah, it's the top of the seventh, but I just want to let you guys know.
I
spread it. We're ready for Boston. We're gonna fuck them up. Let's go, yes, baby! The Romans, the Trojans, a blast from the past! A Petronium bomb, baby! Do the deal, baby! That is, fuck yeah! Let's get it, Boston! That's it. Bend over. Take it up the ass. It's the Yankees winning season. That's it. Hail the ass in the back pocket like a fucking long cut pin. That's it.
Yeah, it was a great, great win for the Yankees. I think Boone did a great job. I mean, everything he put in worked. You know, there's people been a lot of people been real critical of Gary Sanchez. He played a great game behind the plate. I think that shouldn't go unnoticed. So I'm excited to go to Boston, where I am pretty optimistic about the Yankees' chances.
Fucking Sevy running roughshod. Luke fucking the legend. Boy doing big things. Fuck the Athletics. Bring the Red Sox on. Suck our asses. Let's go.
There it is. Yankees go and take care of business. Postseason's back the way it should be. Yankees, Red Sox. Yanks got a lot of momentum. Red Sox haven't played since Sunday. It's almost a week of no baseball for them. Yankees in five. Let's go. It's going to be a fun one.
Hey, Pinstripe, this is Eric from Syracuse. I'm loving this riverboat boom we got going on. He bucks all the trends of this year, brings his Betances with runners on, watching that through cracked fingers, and then playing with house money. He goes, hey, let's bring Betances up for the second inning. He just shoved all in and he won. That's great. And hopefully we see more of this in the playoffs. Fuck Boston.
Yo, Bronx Pinstripes, I fucking love the show. Okay, listen up. I'm calling from the Middle East. This game was on at 3 in the morning. I went to sleep last night at 8 so that I could wake up, watch this game. Today I have a job interview. I still woke up at 3 in the morning to watch that amazing fucking game. Luke Voigt, you're my hero. Chappie, you the man. Sevy, I don't blame you what happened in the 5th inning. Should have taken you out after the 4th. You did fucking awesome. Oh my god, that game, I'm fucking dying here. I'm almost having a heart attack. This October is gonna be killer. It's gonna be something amazing. I'm gonna have to wake up at 3 a.m. 20 times this fucking month. It's gonna kill me. Okay, I'm in for the whole thing, the whole run. We're going to the World Series. We're taking it game 4 of the World Series. You heard it here first, folks. Let's do it. Go Yankees!
Calling from Arizona, watched the game. Just finished up, 8:56 p.m. What an absolute fucking game. I love it. Starting off with Judge's bomb, Sevy, fantastic. I think Boone had great management, putting in Echevarria, sticking with Betances, which when he did that, I was like, no fucking way. They're going to give up some runs, but no. Then the Gardner substitution, the Walker at the end. Chapman looked good. Voigt's fucking triple. Luke Voigt, fucking monster. Love his haircut, it's all tight and sharp. I know fucking people hate his hop, but I love it. Absolutely love it. Great game. I was yelling my lungs out. I don't even know how I still have a voice. Fantastic. Love it. I think they're rolling. I think they're going to be Boston. I love half lining up. Go Yanks.
We won! Judge!
Hey BP crew, this is Eddie from Idaho. Hell of a win for the Yankees. Everybody contributed, the pitching staff, everybody fan, and Judge starting up right. Let's keep this momentum, take it into Boston, go whip that Boston ass. Let's go Yankees.
Woo! Let's go boys! Yankees get it done in the Bronx, baby.
Solid 5 innings, baby. Let's go, man. Let's fucking go. Everybody talking shit. He's not the right guy. He struggled in the second half. I don't give a fuck. That man with adrenaline pumping and the stuff that he's got, nobody says that. Lock down, Bull Hammond. The legend of Luke motherfucking boy coming through again. Let's go, boy. Offense gets hot at the right time. Bullpen lockdown. Let's fucking roll and talk and whoop that ass, baby. They ain't ready for this shit. They ain't ready for Chris Sale, Porcello, David Price, you don't want to see this offense, baby. You don't want to see it. Let's fucking go, boys. That's how we do. Defend the Bronx. Let's fucking go. Yanks, baby.
Yo, this is long time listener, Nick. Andy. Yeah, one hell of a game, man. Aaron Bleepin Judge with 2-1 bomb. Ron Darling calling Blake Trinan and Dennis Eckersley. I mean, dude, what? Fuck Boston. Let's get it.
Listen here, my two-strike brothers. The Yankees are not out of it. They're not. They're back into this. And they're back strong. And they want the luck. And they love the crisp Red Sox. Let's fucking go, Yankees. Big home run by Judge. Big home run by Stan. Crazy triple by Gordon. I love October baseball. Go pinstripes.
Wow. So, I watched this game, and I can't say I was shocked, because we all know Billy Beane is a loser. Billy Beane is never going to win anything. He's always going to lose and lose and lose and lose. For some reason, everyone has to love him, but he's a loser. And I'm watching this game, and wait, the Missouri Wonder comes up, and the man is the man. He's the man. You gotta give him credit. He's got that country strength. He's got that, like, he's been plowing the fields for hundreds of years strength. You gotta give him credit for that. So he comes up and he belts a triple that I thought it was a home run, but it's a triple, and he wins the game for us. You gotta love this team. I'm loving the feeling right now. I think we're gonna win this all. Let's go, Yankees.
Got a British receptionist. Let's fucking go. The Yankees are back where they belong. Bring on the fucking Boston Red Sox. We've been waiting for 14 years. We got the squad. We got the momentum. We're all hands on deck, ready to go. This team has it all. We're gonna fucking cruise our way on to the World Series. Let's go, baby.
Yeah, I just wanted to call in and let y'all know that great game tonight by the Yankees. All around, just good pitching, good hitting. Great start by Severino. And if we get J-Hab, Masahiro Tanaka, and CeCe on the same page as Severino, we beat the White Sox in three, sweep them. And then after that, I mean, it was beating the Yankees. If we beat Boston, we beat the best team in baseball. And the way this offense is rolling based off that wild card game and this final stretch of September, there's no way we can't make it to the World Series and win it. So, like I said, it's all about just pitching. Just has to stay consistent. Good pitching. Offense always delivers. I mean, that lineup tonight was deadly. And we still got Neil Walker, Brett Gardner on the bench. There's no one who can beat us if we're at our top form right now. So that's all that I had to say. Great game by the Yankees. Nice to see Judge and Stanton connecting, making a big impact on the game. And I just want to see them beat the Red Sox. And then whoever we play, the ALCS, if we beat Boston, hopefully we will, knock on wood. We're going far. We're going far.
Hey, what's up, guys? I have a baby sleeping like 10 feet away from me, so I gotta be quiet. But we're on to Boston. Let's do it. This is exactly how this lineup was supposed to win. And they did it. Everyone stepped up. Now you've got Red Sox fans clearly nervous on Twitter. Clearly nervous. You think that Chris Sale, who's never performed in the postseason, David Price, who we've owned all year long, and Rick Porcello, who is not a big game pitcher. They think these guys are their answer. And if we did this to Oakland's top-level bullpen, what do you think we're going to do to that pansy-ass minor league bullpen that they have up in Boston? Let's go. Let's keep rolling.
Let's go, Yankees. Who's that? The Bronx Bombers, baby. We did it again. We're going to fucking Boston, baby. I want fucking Boston, baby. I'm about 20 feet. Right now I'm on the toilet, but I can't get that game out of my head, man. That shit was fucking great, bro. Fucking Luke Roy, fucking John Carlo, and Judge is back, baby. I'm gonna ride around the city with my headphones
on, and when the feeling is gone, I'll turn around and go. Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it, and go Yankees.